Can you ever really trust a spirit that presents itself as a little girl? Could taking a picture with an inanimate object ruin your life? What really is stuck in the glass box of the Warrens Museum? Today we test the believability of the possessed doll, Annabelle.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Thank you for joining us on this. But it's the 8th when this comes out.
Yeah,
nothing is really special about the 8th, but that's okay. Unless it's your birthday. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Happy almost Valentine's Day. Very commercialized romantic time.
But the next week is going to be the Super Bowl.
That is true. Between Ohio's Cincinnati Bengals, not my team.
So now you're claiming the Bengals?
Nope, our good friend Parker's team. I like Joe Burrow, you know, and they have they're scary. This is a team that is still rebuilding, and they're going against the Odell Beckham Rams.
The Rams.
I was rooting for the Rams this year until Odell went there, and that's nothing against Odell. I think once next year happens, we're all good. But it's everything with the Browns. It's just a bad taste.
Bitter.
A little bitter. Brady. Tommy Brady. Calling it quits, man. How do you feel? I know you're a big Brady fan.
He probably should have retired a couple years ago, but I'm glad he is done.
Maybe he can come work for the podcast.
That'd be awesome.
He needs a job.
Our new junior editor, Tom Brady.
Thomas Brady.
He's rebranded.
Get us a f***ing coffee, kid. He throws that at us. That was a great throw.
Wow, he spiraled coffee. It's crazy. But we're not even in the same room right now.
We are not. We got hit by a big, big snowstorm.
And I don't want to go out because it's cold. It's not the reason. The roads are still really dangerous.
I don't want to go out and die, potentially.
Because I had a ghost. Double snow day this week. So, you know, it's real when that kind of stuff happens.
Listen, this is tied to my favorite horror movie of all time, which is The Conjuring.
Yes. Yes. Are we going to get into the actual topic? Annabelle doll? The doll of Annabelle? Yes.
Yes. I don't know when to ask this question because we haven't even talked about the doll yet. Maybe I'll wait until you describe the doll. I have a question about how the doll looks.
I can just tell you how it looks. Because I don't really get too descriptive with it, I don't think.
Well, a lot of people that might not know are going to picture what they see in the movie.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Because that's probably the more common picture. They've got like 17 movies or whatever, right?
There's like 15 Conjurings, and then there's like 5 Annabelles, and then there's that creepy nun girl lady that's just like throw her in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole Conjuring Warren universe.
There's going to be a James Wan movie that's like Annabelle versus It. Pennywise with it, like parent, it's set in the Paranormal Activity universe.
But to answer your question, Annabelle looks like the sweetest Raggedy Ann doll you've ever seen. Giant head, big, big, big hair, red yarn hair, a dress.
I didn't know where you were going with the big. Big, like, big what?
It's a big head. Barely fits in its case of holding.
It keeps growing. Now, that'd be creepy.
That would be creepy.
So, and then on the movie, it's like the porcelain doll with the creepy
face. Yeah, it's all scratched
up. It just naturally looks terrifying. It looks terrifying. Like, this Raggedy Ann doll is like, you give it to your kid. You know what I mean? You pick it up. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, this is made of cloth. And then you give it to your kid. The Annabelle in the movie is so sinister looking, and it feels so forced. And as somebody who has dabbled in directing, not film, but, you know, what do you think of the choice to make the doll look so dramatically different than how it is supposed to look and to make it look naturally creepy?
It's a scary movie. They're doing their best to up the scares. If they presented the Raggedy Ann doll as the actual Annabelle, one, you got to pay the Raggedy Ann company rights, and two, it's just going to be it's not going to have any of the presence that porcelain thing they have has.
There's like a lot. Every time you say Raggedy Ann, the owner Ann gets like a scoop of ice cream.
Oh, wow. Good for them. That's so nice.
I just wanted to bring attention to that because that's always been one thing that's like I get it. It is a scary movie and you want it to look creepy, but at the same time, it's so different. It's almost like a letdown then when you see the real doll, even though the real doll is the real creepy one, not this fake porcelain doll that's made to look scary. I don't know. It feels so forced and you're like, why would anybody buy that doll? But I guess there's people that die. Oh my God. I guess there's people that buy Chucky dolls.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't that bad and they made it look way, way worse.
I think it was made probably just for the movie, right?
Actually, yeah, probably.
Sorry, I took.
No,
I took
it's that okay. Over, so let's, there's not a lot of preamble here. We're just going to jump right into the story. I thought about doing a little bit about the Warrens, but this is already really long. So I was like, we'll just go into it.
Y'all know who the Warrens are. Patrick Wilson.
And his beautiful wife. I don't know who she is, but I think she's gorgeous.
She's a really good actress. She was in Case 11 or Case 39 or one of those type of movies, ooh. I think. I don't know. I like Patrick Wilson a lot. He's also in Insidious. He's in two of my top three. If somehow Ethan Hawke and Patrick Wilson had a baby, that'd be a really good actor for horror movies for me, personally. You don't have to respond.
Look at what I say. Yeah, it's a good looking baby.
I didn't say they were attractive. I said I like them as actors.
What a charismatic baby.
Sinister, and then Patrick Wilson is in Insidious and The Conjuring.
Oh, he's the dad. It's like, I don't believe in anything.
In what? Kind of. I think it's the guy from Office Space, though, in The Conjuring that doesn't believe in anything. But I feel like he buys in more quickly than most horror movie dads, if I remember correctly.
In The Conjuring, he gets with the program pretty fast. But he's away most of the time because he's a trucker.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, I'm a little surprised you haven't done an episode on Bathsheba.
Bathsheba.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. There's we can't do all this stuff that, the big stuff. We gotta do dumb shit like the Honey Island Spot Monster. We gotta throw some of that stuff. I'm just kidding. That was our first foray into Bigfoot.
No one believed the Honey Island Spot Monster. You got half on Instagram.
Dude, we put out elves that sneak into your house and lick your pots, and 85% of you are like, yeah, it's true. I saw them last year, actually. And we do a Bigfoot in the bayou, and you're like, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's a sign of growth, personally. We're reaching more people.
Growth and skepticism?
No, we're reaching more people.
And you're saying the average population is skeptical?
More skeptical than some of the people that we...
Then the diehards.
Yeah. Well, speaking of skeptical, we're not exactly being content forward. Let's move on. Let's move forward with this. I want to tell this story. I don't know if that. Yeah. This is the problem with being so far away from you, is that I can't. It's hard for me to focus for sure.
I know. I can't even see you.
I know.
You could be in the bathtub.
I can't even see you. No, that's you would hear true. That splashing.
I am in the bathtub. You would hear the echo.
Yeah.
And the reverberation.
And the water.
In my wine glass.
Okay, so the doll story and how it came to be. Before I really start, I took most of the story from the book The Demonologist. That's what my main source on this, because I have that book and I've read it.
Do they have an audiobook? Is it read by Patrick Wilson?
I would assume not. So the Warrens took the case from Episcopalian priest from Connecticut. And the gist was that there were two nurses named Angie and Donna. Well, the book lists them as Laura and Deidre, but everywhere else says Angie and Donna. And
does the book come out and say that they changed their names, or do they f***ed up?
I don't know. I don't know where the where the difference comes from. I don't know why
they looked different. They messed with Wikipedia that one day.
I don't know, but everywhere else, all the internet has them as Angie and Donna.
We can roll with that.
I don't know if the movie is Angie and Donna. I don't know. I'm just gonna go with Angie and Donna because that's where everything else is. I'm gonna go with the general population here. And they were experiencing a lot of activity from a doll. And later, it was determined that this doll was demonic, and they were in the stage of oppression because there's infestation, oppression, and finally possession. And they were in that middle stage.
So what were they experiencing?
That's the whole story. We're going to get through it.
Oh, okay. So that was the abstract.
Yeah, pretty much.
Does it cover how she was named Annabelle?
Yes.
Ah, sweet. Okay. I am ready.
So these girls live together in a pretty new apartment for 1970. It was a low rise. Sorry to get some water.
Well, are you waiting for a laugh track?
Yes. So the girls live together in this apartment. Angie was engaged to a man named Cal and or Lou. Lou is everywhere else. Cal's in the book. And Lou's experience was perhaps the most drastic and or physical. The doll itself, which we discussed already, is a Raggedy Ann doll. And it was given to the girls by Donna's mother. She sent it to her for her 28th birthday. I don't know why.
Wow, that's an interesting gift for a 28-year-old.
Listen, I think the real reason she sent it was because it was either A, nostalgic, or B, decorative, or C, both.
Or it was terrorizing her, and she's like...
They were both practicing nurses, and I don't know what Lou did. I think he was just happy to be there. And when they started to sit down with the three, they were confused because of how the girls talked about this doll. They spoke as if it were alive. Now, the girls told the Warrens that shortly after Donna's birthday, they started to notice that the doll was moving by itself. First, it was through small gestures, like moving its limbs on the bed. But, like, they didn't see it moving, but they would, like, leave in one place and come back. It was in a different place. And then it would go from being in the bedroom to the couch. So it was moving places throughout the apartment. It was also doing impossible things, like kneeling when it physically could not kneel because it's just like fabric. Around this time that they saw the doll doing things it couldn't do, they also found notes written in children's handwriting.
That itself is so creepy. And I think the children's handwriting makes it different because I'll give you a thought that somebody could have. It's like, okay, they're nurses, so they're working a lot. So, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, because I think anybody who's worked a lot of hours overtime knows that you get a little mentally strained, maybe more likely to experience things that aren't happening. But at the same time, unless it's Lou, who has apparently no job and just hanging around writing these notes, pretending to be a child, like maybe he just has nothing better to do than mess with these two girls. Not that I'm saying that that is the case. I'm just saying that seems to be the only other option. But the fact, if this is true, the fact that these girls are finding written notes and a moving doll, like what do you do? Obviously, you get the Warrens, but it's like...
Well, that they didn't get the Warrens until later. That okay. Didn't set off their alarm bells yet.
So talk about the notes. Does it say anything it said?
Yes. Girls told Ed that the notes said things like, quote-unquote, help us, or... help Cal, or Lou. But he was fine. He was not in jeopardy at all. The notes were written specifically with pencil and parchment paper. They didn't have any such thing like that in their apartment. They didn't have pencils, and they especially didn't have parchment, because this is in the 1800s. In an effort to rule out any pranksters, they did things like chalk on their doormat to see if there were like footprints when they got back, or leave like little traps to make sure no one was messing with things to get in.
See, before video cameras, you had to get very creative.
Yes. Yeah.
Now you just get a ring, one of those ring bell cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Get some from Simply Safe.
You haven't seen Death Note, but in Death Note, the main character uses a room to make sure no one gets in with like a double kind of locking mechanism, and it's super ingenious.
They should have did it like Home Alone, where it's like there's booby traps. It's like they come home and they see Lou dead on the floor. I'm like, Lou, we knew it was you.
But even if they did set up those traps, nothing would have happened because there was no proof that anyone was breaking in.
Creepy.
I know. And you're upstairs right now in your attic, aren't you? Alone. Are the lights on?
Oh, yeah. Well, just the string lights. I don't have the light lights on.
Oh, boy.
And there's no animals up here with me, so I'm glad you brought attention to that. I appreciate it.
I'm with the cat. He's got my back. But after they had set these booby traps, the three noticed a strange substance that was on the doll. It had small amounts of blood on its hands. And that's when the girls got in touch with the medium.
So wait, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Help us, right?
Help us.
Help yeah. us. Do you think, like, what if, oh my God, like, what if it's a soul, a human soul, that's trying to reach them, but it's being, like, contained by demonic activity?
I mean, like, a real human soul.
Yeah, I mean, like, a person is possessed, like, a person got possessed or whatever, and it's like, somehow the demon is inside this doll, but it took the human with them. So it's like, and the doll, like, I'm trying to think of what I want to say. It's like, there's actually a good person that's trapped inside this doll too with a demon. And it's the human is the one that's trying to be like, help me. Unless you think it's all demonic and it's just like, get me out of this doll, or I'm just messing with you. I'm going to kill you. Brush my hair.
I don't know what I would think, because my initial instincts would be to not trust that at all.
Help us by bringing a blood sacrifice. I was just thinking about that, because the help us is strange.
It is strange, but so is help Cal or help Lou.
That's true, because
why would they?
That
say?
Means that this doll is conscious enough to know.
Yeah, oh, it knows their names. Yeah.
Also, but where do you? I know I'm sidetracking you, and I could be saving all this for the discussion, but I don't want to forget. Where do you think the parchment paper comes from? Because even if this is a demon,
yeah,
it can't just make.
It doesn't shop at Office Max.
No.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's kind of like a demonic kind of thing, is that it can make little things appear and disappear.
Really? Is that?
Yeah.
I feel like it has to physically come from somewhere.
Well, I know this. The Enfield Poltergeist made like water appear. I think you can't get too sidetracked in that kind of thought, because
can't get caught up too much in the details, Tyler. We're talking about a haunted moving doll. About to goosebumps this bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I think you just have to let yourself believe that it could do that.
Until we get to the discussion, I will do that.
The girls got in touch with the medium. The woman came over and they did a seance with them. And that is when the girls found out through the medium that there was a spirit attached to the doll.
So you knew this answer the entire time. I was saying what ifs about who could be in this doll.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's my lesson, to shut up and listen. All right. Shut up and dribble.
So they said the spirit was attached to the doll and it liked the nurses. And it said its name was Annabelle Higgins. And she apparently was a young girl who lived and died in a field near where the apartments were built. And, quote unquote, she only wanted to be loved. And it also asked them through the medium if she could live in the doll. So, the nurses, being compassionate creatures, they said yes to Annabelle. And they said, you can live in our doll. They weren't scared of it. They wanted to be attached to it. They were okay with the girl living with
Man,
them.
Man, listen. So I was playing Back for Blood yesterday, and I had a random guy join my group with my sister and my friend, and he was fine. I didn't even want to play with him. You know what I mean? Like, how am I going to let this spirit always live in my house in this doll full time? Like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just... I'm too introvert for that shit.
My first question during the seance would be like, where did you get the blood in your hands from?
Yeah.
Why was there blood on your hands?
And I would be right behind you and be like, yeah.
Yes, I don't know. They were just a little too compassionate to what they presumed to be a little girl.
The medium's like, she's just paint. Don't worry about it. Like, where's the parchment paper coming from?
The medium, you know, they didn't. They're like, yeah, it's totally a little girl. It's definitely not a demon.
She's like ripping up their study notes and study guides to write these little help us.
I think that the medium was kind of bad.
Really?
I don't mean evil. I just mean bad at their job.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm like, plot twist.
No, I think the medium was just kind of like, whatever.
Just trying to get that paper.
Let me ask you a question. What can you never have too much of?
Pizza.
Yeah?
Vacation days.
Yes?
History episodes.
Let's not get carried away. But how about paranormal podcasts?
You're right. You can't have too many.
But here's the problem. Just like trying to pick out a movie on Netflix, I never know which paranormal podcast to start binging.
That's why you need to check out Scary Time Podcast.
Scary Time Podcast offers an exciting variety of spooky and paranormal podcasts. Each episode is submitted from a completely different podcast. It's like the perfect hors d'oeuvre tray.
And they put out episodes from independent podcasters, so you know you're supporting indie artists.
Podcasts like Nopeville, Curly Conspiracies, and our friends Hidden in the Shadows.
Fun fact, we were on Scary Time last year. Shout out The Great Dismal Swamp Mystery.
So, if you want the ultimate variety of paranormal and creepy topics, check out Scary Time Podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lou, on the other hand, he never liked this. He said it was taking advantage of the girls, and he never trusted it.
He was probably taking advantage of the girls. It keeps sleeping on my futon in your guys' apartment.
He said, I never thought moving by itself was cute. Which, I mean, I don't think that's a cute trick either. It'd be really scary.
No, that makes sense.
So one day, Lou was sleeping on the couch in the apartment. And he had a dream that he was attacked by Annabelle. He said that the doll crawled up his body while he was laying there. And as it got to his neck, it put its arms on both sides of his neck. And all of a sudden, he could not breathe. It was like he was being strangled to death. He woke up, out of breath. But physically, he was okay.
It's a creepy dream.
But to add on top of that, Lou was actually attacked. Like, physically, he was attacked in the apartment. Lou and Angie were alone in the apartment when they started to hear a noise inside of Debbie's room. Lou had went to go check, and Annabelle was in the corner. When Lou opened the door, he saw that she was there, and he went to go pick her up to see if that had made the noise. As he bent over, he got the feeling that someone or something was behind him, and he swung around, but no one was there. But as he moved, 7 deep scratches appeared in his chest. There was blood everywhere. His shirt was torn. It was a mess. And that's when they decided to call Ed and Lorraine, or have their friend call Ed and Lorraine.
Makes sense. So
there were 3 vertical scratches and 4 horizontal scratches.
So do you think if Lou didn't, I don't want to say he bothered Annabelle, because clearly he's the victim in this scenario. But do you think if he wasn't around and it was just the nurses, do you think it would have got that violent?
I think if Lou hadn't been there, it would have moved to the next phase. It would have moved to possession. Because Lou was the only one who questioned the doll. He was the only one threatening the doll's presence there. Because the girls were fine with it. I think it would have easily moved to possession.
I wonder who it would have picked.
I would guess Donna, because it was on her bed. It was always by her. It was her present, technically.
I can't imagine witnessing that. Like, seeing someone go over to a doll and then turn around and start swinging. So you already don't know what's happening. And then you just see their shirt get torn and these scratches across their chest without seeing anyone or anything there do it.
Yeah, and they apparently healed very quickly, too. Like, within 2 or 3 days, they were gone. So Ed and Lorraine, they told these girls and Lou that there was never any girl named Annabelle. This was an inhuman spirit, or demon. It did things that were too powerful for an ordinary spirit to do. It did these kinds of things like teleport and make things appear to get their attention. And it got them to talk to them through the seance. And then it got their permission to live in the doll. And that was to get them even closer to the doll, to get them closer to the demon. So the Warrens called for a priest to come and exorcise the apartment, and they were going to take Annabelle back to their house. And that's what they did. And then that's basically how the Warrens got possession of Annabelle, the doll. On their way home, the doll tried to kill them several times by making their car stall, making the brakes lock up, and it caused them to drift. This happened several times before Ed turned around to the doll that was strapped in the back seat and threw holy water on it while making the sign of the cross. Before the doll was at the museum, they left it in Ed's office. And apparently, multiple times, the doll levitated and fell back to earth. And it would move room to room like it did in the apartment. And it also had its own little black cat that was seen by the doll, like near the doll. And that's a sign of the demonic black cats appearing.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
That's like all black cats are, because they're associated with witches and the demonic.
Kind of sucks for black cats.
It does, especially if like you're a real black cat. Like, oh man, I'm not a demon. I'm just trying to get some kitty cat stuff.
Some catnip. You selling some catnip?
And that is basically how they came up with the idea of their museum. And Annabelle became a fixture in the museum. It got locked up in its case, and it's been there ever since. And there's actually a rumor recently that Annabelle escaped, but that was a mistranslation from a tweet or something. It never escaped.
They were like, so what a natural transition to like, wow, we have this demonic, scary, dangerous doll. Well, how can we make money off that? It's like, well, what if we just get more and then we pay people to come look at them?
Well, right. that's a big thing about the Warrens. A lot of people question their morals and stuff like that. I don't know if you know much about that, do you?
No, and I don't fault them necessarily. I mean, obviously, if anybody went and got possessed or hurt or injured, it's kind of on them. But, I mean, got to make a living somehow.
Well, listen, if you go on Reddit and you look up anything about the Warrens, there's people all over there shitting on them.
That's because they're, like, the biggest. Listen, who do people make fun of? People make fun of Zach Bagans. People make fun of the Warrens. People make fun of LeBron James. If you get so big that it's like sometimes you're bigger than your industry, whether it be like basketball or paranormal investigating for that example I just did, I feel like when you get so high and so beyond that, people just like to kind of tear you down. Not saying that any of those people don't have their issues, but I just feel like that's just part of it. And plus, you know, it's like when something's so known and it's like, it's cool to not like the Warrens because everyone likes the Warrens, you know?
Yeah. And I don't really know.
I don't know enough about it to speak on what they did and whether it might or not be wrong. So they could be terrible people. I don't know.
That's how I feel about it too. I don't really know.
We met Lorraine.
Yeah. She was fine.
Yeah.
So I've got two stories. These are pretty well known stories about two people that met Annabelle, the Annabelle doll, and some stuff happened to them.
Are these the two people from the quiz?
Yes, they are.
Oof.
So the first one is a story from Tony Sparrow, who is the Warren's son-in-law. So they marry their daughter. So he said that Ed brought a priest from Hartford to the museum, and while Ed was telling him about the doll, the priest ran up to the doll and threw it across the room and said, quote, God is more powerful than any demon. And Ed was shocked because he had just told the priest to not touch it. And the priest actually never made it back to his church because he ran headfirst into a semi while he was driving home.
That is terrifying.
He didn't die, thankfully.
Oh, damn. Okay.
But he told Lorraine after that the last thing he remembered seeing was the doll in his back seat.
Oh, that's like horror movie stuff right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So he never went back to his church, or do you mean like that night?
Yeah, that night.
Okay, because he was in the hospital.
Okay. Because he hit a semi.
It happens, especially if you touch a haunted doll.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there's another one that was told by Lorraine about a man and woman that visited the museum. Quote. The tragedy began when the man mockingly banged on the glass window of the cabinet where Annabelle is kept. Due to the man's attitude, the Warrens asked the couple to leave the museum, but upon leaving the place, the couple got involved in a fatal accident that led to the young man's death. According to the man's girlfriend, they were joking about the doll when the boyfriend lost control of their motorcycle and crashed head-on into a tree.
I see a theme here.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. PSA, if you accidentally or intentionally piss off Annabelle, stick to a bicycle for a while, or maybe better yet, just stay off the road.
Stay home.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Ed, Lorraine, car. The priest, car. This couple, car. Like, apparently that's her superpower, is when you're behind the wheel, she's like, man, I don't know how to get them. I don't know how to get back at them for teasing me. Like, oh, you're getting in a 2,000-pound metal death trap. She's like, well, this is easy.
Yeah, it's like her one trick pony.
I know. Get a new trick, Annabelle.
Well, yeah.
She's like, this is the trick where I make an asteroid hit Earth.
Especially in your house.
Especially your yeah. A huge asteroid only hit the person's house that was teasing Annabelle.
So I have one last personal encounter, but it is long. It is an article from Wicked Horror. And the person it affected is Marissa.
Is this from Boston? It's a wicked whore.
Wicked whore. No. But the person who told the story, it's crazy. It turned her life into a nightmare. Marissa went to go see the doll and the tour from Tony Sparrow like most. She'd heard the whole thing about what happened to those that had mocked the doll in the past and not to follow their footsteps or else. She got a photo with the doll and she left, and she thought she'd left alone. However, about a week after, she was having dinner at home, and Marissa remembered walking normally. She was walking down the stairs, and she thought both her feet were on the bottom step. But the next thing she knew, she went down hard, and she ended up limping for a week. Marissa moved apartments shortly after this, and it seemed to be a normal, clean apartment, but she noticed all kinds of bugs gathering around in the corner. It seemed that Marissa had moved into her own horror movie, where the management only gave her a can of bug spray to respond for the bugs, and she found out that the bugs had actually come from her neighbor's apartment. Her neighbor was an older woman who only wore a long blue dress. She had a habit of staring at Marissa, and when Marissa asked her why she was staring, all the neighbor did was cackle. The woman was eventually evicted for being so gross, but her mess stayed, and Marissa was in a new hell having to deal with all these things that were coming into her apartment. About a month later, something new started happening. At 3 a.m., she got a stomach pain that was so intense that Marissa drove herself into the ER. They ran a lot of tests, but by the time morning broke, she was sent home. No one knew what was wrong with her. She was so scared of her own house and the filth that she started to couch surf. She eventually broke her lease and moved in with her sister. Everything started to get a little bit better until it got bad again. Marissa was ill for a solid few weeks with a terrible cough, and no one could diagnose her. And this was 2016, so it wasn't COVID. No one had a clue what was wrong with her. It seemed that she was just sick for no reason. So, in this new apartment with her sister, Marissa began to hear things. She thought she heard a crinkling like a plastic bag every night, and she also thought she heard noises coming from inside the walls. She thought that the nighttime crinkling was just her dog, but that thought vanished when her dog became violently ill. It was all adding up. The mess, the sickness, the noises, something was wrong. So in the new apartment with her sister, where she's hearing the noises, the bugs started to come back. She even put away her horror collection because she was so scared, her collection of Funko Pops. And she had a lot of them, a lot like Pinhead, Hellraiser, Jason, all those like figures. And she put them all away because she didn't want to see them anymore because she was living her own personal nightmare. However, about a week after she put them away, she noticed that there was one on the ground. It was her Annabelle figure. Of course it was. So she drove far away and she tossed in the trash. The girls had an experience with an intruder attempting to break into their apartment. And after that, they moved into another apartment. So, because of all things happening to her, she decided it was time for a full decontamination, and she deleted all the virtual evidence of her night with Annabelle, and she even threw away the outfit she had met the doll in. She needed a total disconnection, and that's where the article ends. I hope it worked.
It'd be nice to have a follow-up.
I have a picture of her and the doll. But that is where the article ends. I think it's super interesting.
What was her name?
Marissa.
No last name?
No last name.
Back when she was happy.
Yeah, seriously, right? I know. I have no idea what happened, but crazy.
It's funny. It's funny because, like, when you're in that situation where you're next to Annabelle, even at the museum, is when you find out how seriously you take it. Because you could joke about it. Not you, but, like, people listening could joke all they want about Annabelle and everything. And there's probably a good handful of people that really don't care or believe. But when you're actually like there in person, like when I saw her up at the doll, you know, I was hearing about it for the first time that night when I was in Key West. And it's like, yeah, sure. You know, it's a fun story. It's a tour or whatever. But when you're actually in the room and it's like you have the opportunity to be like obscene or to aggravate it, this random doll. So I feel like that's when you're like, is it worth it? I probably shouldn't. And then hopefully you don't. Although she didn't really do anything bad. She just took a picture with it, right?
No, she didn't. She was intentionally not doing anything bad on purpose. Like, she didn't want to do anything bad to upset this doll. I don't know why it attached to her.
Yeah, it's, man, hearing random noises that you can't. Hopefully, I swear to God, I hope there was somebody in her life that was able to be like, listen, it's probably just birds in your wall. It's probably just birds. Don't worry.
I hope
about
so.
It.
I don't know if that's what it was, but I hope so.
Hopefully her dog's okay too.
I got the impression that after they moved, he was.
That's good.
But I don't know. So, with our stories from Annabelle complete, would you like to move into the discussion?
Yeah.
Before we get to the discussion, I just want to thank the people on Patreon who are hanging out with us, especially the new people who decided to join: Astro, Mimi, Tabitha, and Ben. Thank you so much for joining us on Patreon. I'm glad you're there. I hope you're glad you're there. But, you know, if you're not there, that's okay, too. Thank you for listening in general.
Oh, yeah. We appreciate every listener, whether you're in Patreon or not. But it does help support us in the podcast. And we try to give the most value we can. Quizzes, director's cut. We do bonus merchandise that you can literally only get if you're a member of our Patreon. Extra segments where we look at real creepy stories and fake ones and try and see if we can tell them apart. We put out social media questions and you guys comment and we actually respond directly to your comments. So there's tons of different stuff. I'm not going to say we're going to get more into the video world, but we might be getting more into the video world. We'll see.
Yeah. That might not be a Patreon thing though.
We'll see.
We will see. Also, there's a quiz for this episode. Should be out right now. If you're interested in hearing that, that's only the $5 level.
Yeah, find out if Charlie stumped me on Annabelle questions or if I was able to come through with a W. Like Tommy Brady.
Did he win?
He's won a lot in his life.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. Anyway, that being said, I would like to continue this episode into the discussion. So, hearing the actual story of Annabelle, and then hearing someone that might have been affected by it, well, a couple of people that might have been affected, will you ever trust a little girl spirit again?
I don't think of it as a little girl spirit. I know that's what she claimed to be through the medium. Still think of it very much so as a doll. Not that I think it's just the doll. Like, I know there's something inside the doll, but when I think of Annabelle, I definitely think of the doll, not like the girl's spirit. But, dude, I don't know if I've ever trusted a little girl spirit to begin with.
Do you think you would, though?
No, I'm saying I don't think I've ever trusted a little girl spirit to begin with.
Okay. I don't know if there's a situation where I would.
It's kind of like what I was saying in terms of, like, the playing online with somebody I don't know. It's not even if it was a good spirit, if I had a medium or a psychic, like, for instance, let's say for fun, you and I were at my house. And we're like, let's get a medium and record it for the podcast, whatever. And she was like, listen, in your, like, there's a stuffed animal giraffe downstairs. All right. Its name is George. And if the medium was like, George is not just a stuffed giraffe. It's actually a spirit, a good spirit, but a spirit. And they want to know, can they stay? I would be like, eh, you know what I mean? Like, even if it could be good, I don't like the idea of constantly. Like, I wouldn't, you, like, there's no going back. You can't go back to Annabelle and be like, oh, there's just the doll. I mean, you already couldn't because stuff was happening. Like, she was moving. You were finding notes, a little bit of blood. So I feel like it wasn't like he came out of nowhere, but there's no going back. And no. What good can come from it? Unless she's going to write you little notes that are like, remember what the valence electron is. You know, I mean, like, for your study guide. I don't know
Where do you get the idea that these nurses are in college?
Are they not? Don't you have to go to med school?
No, they're not. No one's in college anymore. They've graduated. They're working nurses.
In school. Part-time.
No.
Only taking chemistry classes.
They're done with college, man.
Okay. Well, then, so my answer is no. I don't trust any of them. So let me segue to this. Any chance that they're just overworked and are, I don't want to say making this up, but not always in the right state of mind?
I think, one, if it was just those two, maybe to begin with, but if you start noticing it, I think that's when you realize it could be asking more than that. But also there's Lou or Cal, who is also noticing these things.
Unless he's the one doing it.
You think he would do that? That he would go to the point where he cuts himself in the chest?
Well, you said it went away remarkably fast. What if it wasn't what they thought it was? Like it was fake.
Like he faked it? Why would you do that to your fiance?
To mess with... Well, listen, I can't... This is a dude that we don't know if he has a job. We don't know where he lives. He might have been living around there. And we don't know the dynamic of the relationship. I'm not trying to paint Lou out to be a bad guy. It probably was a demonic toy, all right? I'm just saying if it wasn't, and they're tired, they're working 16-hour shifts or whatever, and they're probably like 48 hours back to back to back or whatever. Nurses are way overworked. A lot of respect for nurses. And they're not in the right state of mind. They're tired. And this dude's just sitting home all day, maybe, with like nothing else to do. There's no video games. There's no phones. He doesn't sound like a guy that reads. No offense. So he's like, I'm just going to mess with them. I'm going to leave notes. I'm going to move the doll around. And then maybe they started getting comfortable with it. And then he's like, I have to do something extreme to make them think.
That's a lot. That's a lot, lot.
I'm not saying that it happened. I'm just saying it's possible.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm with you with that. That's maybe. I guess maybe. There's always a chance.
At least that would explain where the parchment paper is coming from.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah,
that's
the question. I don't like the idea. Like, I can grasp the idea that a negative entity is now inside a doll in all that. Like that, like I'm into this stuff enough to get that. But still, paper is a physical object and it has to come from somewhere.
Would you feel better if it was like writing on the walls?
Yes. Yes. Cause then I just have to imagine this doll or this entity controlling this doll writing it. Which is weird that they also didn't have pencils. But regardless, it's like this paper had to physically come from somewhere. Am I supposed to imagine this doll going over to CVS and picking up some parchment? That's way overpriced if it's at CVS.
Could you imagine, like, the doll comes in and it's like, the guy, the cashier is like, hey, Annabelle. And she's like, hey, Frank. Like, hey, Frank.
Got any Red Bulls this week? But, okay. Like,
Annabelle's got a busy week.
For real, though. The paper has to come from somewhere, doesn't it?
That is a question of paranormal activity that has been a thought for a long, long time. Is that can spirits pull things out of nothing? Because other spirits have claimed to do it as well. Other famous cases.
I know we don't do this often. I specifically want people that are listening to this podcast, if you happen to have an answer to that, but that isn't just simply they can make it up for fun and just pull things out of their little cloth asses. Let us know, because I'm very curious on a proper explanation on how this demonic entity could be making parchment paper appear out of nowhere. Not saying it couldn't happen. That is just one of the things. Like, demonic doll? Cool. Parchment paper coming from nowhere? I struggle with that. I do.
All right, so let me ask you one more question. How do you feel about the potential road accidents and Marissa's story? How do you feel those connect to the doll? Do you think they're completely true? Maybe true? Partially true? Untrue at all?
I don't know. It's the coincidence and the repetition of the car accidents is kind of striking in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like she has an MO.
Yeah.
Although, so she experienced nothing in her house that the girls, Angie and Donna, experienced, right?
Marissa?
Yeah.
I guess not. She didn't have a doll that was moving place to place. She heard noises. That's about it. I mean, that's not about it, but she also had bugs and filth and stuff.
It's also interesting that the doll was physically not near her anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same for Robert the doll, though. Like, everybody's mm-hmm. experience of, like, getting bad luck after playing around with him.
But it did make her sick. And that's a sign of demonic...
That's true.
...presence, is it weakens you physically.
I think if you buy into the idea that this doll has a demonic entity attached to it, I think it's easy to accept those as well. It's interesting that this is such a huge cultural topic, Annabelle. There's mm-hmm. so few encounters.
There's not a lot. Listen, I was digging. I got to like the 17th O in Google.
Well, it literally went from the girls to the Warren. So it's not like other people had the opportunity to own her. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So it does naturally limit the amount of people that could be affected by it. But it's just crazy where it's like this huge topic, this really kind of bought into entity. But really, it's like two girls, a couple people that visited the museum, and like the priest. Like it's not like it's been affected hundreds of people.
Yeah, no, I know. But I thought Marissa's case was pretty compelling because I don't think she had a lot to gain from telling it. And the article,
except
was
for being on this podcast.
Well, yeah, but she didn't know that.
Now she does. She maybe she still doesn't know.
True. Maybe I'll reach out to her if I can.
Hey, Marissa, Marissa, no last name.
Yeah.
Is your dog okay?
That's the biggest concern right there. I don't want to just put you on the spot and ask you how you feel about it, so I guess I'll give mine first. I feel weird putting a skeptical in front of Annabelle. I don't remember what I did for Robert.
I can check really quick.
No, it's okay. Because I feel like it's not going to sway me either way. I feel like there's not a lot of evidence for Annabelle. Zach Bagans, I didn't put this in the actual episode, in the stories part, but Zach Bagans held the thing for a minute, and he said it was a weird vibe.
It was a weird vibe, man.
I'm paraphrasing. but he said it was bad voodoo, bad juju.
But hey, he quoted me. All right.
But I think it's a lot in your head. I think it's a lot of showmanship around this doll.
It makes you want to swerve into oncoming traffic.
I feel like those two things are coincidence at this point. Although, how many people touched the doll? Not many. I think I'm skeptical about the whole thing right now. Unless I'm presented with new evidence that, like, everyone who touches the case gets into a car accident, I would feel more comfortable saying believable that way. But right now I feel skeptical. I don't think there's enough evidence on it.
Listen, you and I are about to flip-flop from our Robert the Doll scores. Because you gave Robert the Doll viable, and I gave Robert the Doll skeptical. I'm actually going to go viable for Annabelle. I still don't like the parchment thing. There's no way there's enough for me to go fully believable. But a couple things. I kind of brought it up as a point that there weren't many encounters, but then I kind of solved it in my, like, while explaining it, where it's like, not many people have had the opportunity. It went from these girls to the Warrens to the museum, and not many people have a chance to mess with it at the museum. So naturally, there shouldn't be a ton. It's actually more skeptical to me, all these people that were like, Robert the Doll did this. I'm sorry, Robert. And I don't, dude, messing with demons, like... And I have no biases against the Warren, so if that's what they thought it was, I mean, maybe the medium kind of... You're right, she probably wasn't a very good medium if she thought it was just a little girl. Sounds like she got played.
Yeah, I think she did get played.
And also, right. This is kind of like when we were talking about the cursed games, and we're like, would you play the game? If I was in the room with Annabelle, I know I'd be freaked out, and I know I wouldn't do anything to disrespect her, and maybe that's just in my head, maybe that's just buying into all the hype, but I can't go unbelievable if I'm not willing to mess around with her. I can't go unbelievable, and so that leaves me either skeptical or viable, and I think there's not a ton of encounters, but there are similarities, and it's just such a big thing, and I don't know. This will be.
There is good evidence in all the stories.
Yeah.
Like things that are typical of hauntings in all the stories.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not going to go believable, but I will land on viable.
And I think that's totally fair, man. So I need to get off here pretty quick because I am going to go watch the 2022 Winter Olympics tonight. I'm super excited. But thank you for listening to this episode. You know, I really enjoyed... this is such a big topic, man.
It's a huge topic. It's a well-known topic.
But I do wish we were in the same room, but this is how stuff goes, you know? I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it.
And I'm actually in a big hurry, not because I care about the Winter Olympics. Actually, I could care less. And they produce a lot of fake snow, which is bad for the environment. My battery's at like 7%.
Well, let's get out of here before... Annabelle decides to kill your battery.
My computer got to 8% before I did, which is depressing.
Oh, wow.
But also much more likely, right? Like, that's a believable.
Absolutely.
But like Charlie said, hope you liked this episode. If you're interested in bonus content, you can find us on Patreon and check out our tiers. Find one that fits what you're looking for. Subscribe to our YouTube. Stuff is coming. Lots of fun stuff.
And if you enjoyed this episode and or any other episode, please feel free to rate and review on Spotify or Apple, because they mean a lot to us and they help us with the show. And it just makes us happy.
And what is more important than our happiness?
Well, okay then.
No, it's true though. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are.